Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. I believe that God let me experience hell one time for just a matter of a few minutes. It was in a dream, and what I would liken it to is, I don't know if any of you have ever had this experience. Maybe you got some news that a loved one had cancer, or your husband or wife was cheating on you, or some terrible bad news. And it was so bad that it puts you into a state of almost not being able to function. I would liken it to a nervous or a mental breakdown. Anyway, one night I had this dream, and I don't even really exactly remember the subject matter of the dream, but all of a sudden I was in this state where I was just feeling so, oh, just troubled and upset, and there was nothing I could do about it. I was just trapped in this feeling. And even though it was a dream, I was fully conscious and awake, even, and realizing I can't get out of this. And that was I was trying to get out of this. It was just this terrible torment. And it lasted for just a matter of several minutes, and finally I came out of it. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, that was what hell's going to be like. And I thought, that's one place I never want to go. And from the feeling that I experienced, I don't know how anybody could forever be in that state where there's nothing I can do about this. There's this unrest and upset and tormented and feeling terrible, and it would never go away. I just thought, I don't ever want to go to that place. Anyway, that's an experience I had one time.
You know, there are people, brethren, hell begins here on earth in your life. If you're living and you don't have the peace of God, you have already a portion of hell. And if you die in that condition, amen, without the peace of God, without the peace of forgiveness of Jesus Christ in your life, you just transfer over into hell, and it's just the same kind of suffering, the same kind of passions, the same kind of hatred, the same kind of destruction of your soul. You just carry it on. It's just another step. After death, the same kind of bitterness that you had in life. You have to get rid of it here. We have so many days of our life to get rid of all that stuff from our soul, to have Jesus clean us out, to just cry out to him, Lord, clean me out. I'm in terrible, terrible circumstances here in my life. Lord, I just have to have the peace. You'll just transfer, cross over, same thing, and probably worse. Because you know there'll be no escape from it. That little book of George Ritchie, I tell you what did I do? I just read it the other day again, and it was the fourth time that I read it. But it really moved me to a practical understanding of what hell is really going to be like, and I don't want a taste of it. You know, Proverbs was warning the young man in his temptations, don't go there, don't go there. That her house is the house is the gate of hell. Yeah. Kathy, is that you? We're a hybrid here. We got people on the phone. Hold on, Kathy. I'll try to open it up. Oh my goodness. Hold on. I'll try to get you up, Kathy. I can't do it again. Well, go ahead, Kathy. I'll go ahead and say what you're trying to say here. Yeah, but I can't. You were unconscious. Okay, Kathy, go ahead. You experienced the realm of hell. It was separation from God. That was the worst part of it. Fear and hopelessness. Was mainly separation from God. So you believe that that's what Jesus experienced on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yeah, I believe he was experiencing hell. Right there in his last moments on the cross, God had separated from him, and he had to take on the sin of the whole world. And in that place of totality of sin, he had been so pure, so innocent, and to have all that load of sin suddenly piled on him. It had to be hell that he was experiencing right there on the cross in his last moments there. Oh, thank you, Kathy. Thanks for pointing that out. Larry, you acted like you were going to say something.
Well, I believe that was the problem, the suffering of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was not that he was tormented or thoughts of his physical punishment, but rather what caused him great angst was that now I believe it was for the first time he realized that he was going to be separated from Father, and that I think was the cause for the drops of blood. So and Mark, when you said that what when they asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? He didn't say just believe. He said you had to keep the commandments, or love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. It wasn't until you get to the theology of Paul that all you had to do was believe. And not that they were in conflict with one another. It's just they were speaking to two different people. Jesus was speaking to the Jews. Paul speaking to the Gentiles, and you didn't. We as Gentiles, the only thing we have to do is believe in the gospel, as he explained in Corinthians.
Ναι, μπορώ, Μακ. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, sorry, just to ask, you mentioned two or three books during as you spoke. Can you recap? Can we so I can get the names and check them out?
Yeah. This one is an ancient book by Dante. The Inferno. It's not the Bible. Remember that. It's not the Bible. It's one man's idea of what hell might be like. It's quite difficult to read. It's been translated from Latin or something into English, but it's a classic. It's considered an all-time classic. And I'm sure it's politically incorrect today because he has the homosexuals on the fourth round of this but he has the clergy. It seems like he's put most of the clergy in this thing too, so I don't know why they didn't burn him at the stake, but somehow he got away with it. It's not the Bible, okay, and it may not be 100% true.
It's known as Dante's Inferno. If you just look up Dante's Inferno, you'll find
yeah,
it.
You'll find it. Yeah. Now this one is a good book, and I've got the 30th edition or something of what's published. This man was a Christian, George Ritchie, and he died at the age of 86, I think, just a few years ago. Return from Tomorrow. Very good book. I mean, that'll just get your that'll get right a hold of your heart. And he saw Jesus, and his description of Jesus is such a pure, wonderful description. He said that he was pure light. He was made out of light. And he said the light was so bright that he was not in his body, but he said it would burn your retina and burn right through if you were in your flesh and had to see Jesus this way. But he also described Jesus as being pure love. Oh, he said the love just permeated him. He just moved him. So I like the description. I mean, so my fourth time reading this week, I thought I've got to read that again. Return from Tomorrow by George Ritchie. Let me comment to Larry, though, to answer, respond to what he was saying. I'll read this next week. But it was after the people had eaten the bread, you know, where he fed the 5,000. And then they came to him and they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And he answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." So the context was not necessarily that they wanted to work their way into salvation, but they wanted to do the miracles that he did. And basically what they were asking is, what kind of profession should we sign up for that we can do this? And you might say, well, if we sign up and go to Bible school or go to seminary, then we should have the right occupation that we can do the works of God. But he didn't answer them that way. He didn't give them, this should be your occupation, then you can do the works of God.
Yeah, good point, Mark. But it's the mindset of the Jews, you know, that they were always looking to do something, you know, because they come from this place of law and works, and so
something.
You know, that is true. That's the only place in scripture where you see that Jesus is saying, when asked that question, to disbelieve on him. And in the New Testament, or the epistles of Paul, constantly Paul is saying, all you have to do is believe that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again.
Well, with that, Larry, when you do believe, you're going to go ahead and obey the commandments he has. You're going to listen to him and do those things. So it's not necessarily the Jews and the Gentiles are different. He said it two different ways, but they're the same.
Well, the thing is, though, our salvation is not dependent on anything we do. It's not what you do, it's what you believe.
Right, and neither are the Jewish, you know, any different from us today.
Correct.
It's theirs. Even though he said, obey the Ten Commandments and, you know, follow him or whatever, it's not any different. Do you agree with that? That the Jews and the Gentiles are the same today?
Yes.
In the way the Lord teaches.
Yes, both. All they have to do is the same thing. That's the only qualification, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But what I'm saying is, the mindset of the Jews, you know, coming through their heritage, it was hard to break through that they didn't have to do something. In other words, they come from a place of religion, you know, Judaism. And just like all religions, they're based on what you can do for God. What must I do to please God? And yet scripture says it's only by faith, that is faith in Jesus Christ, that you can please God. So it's not, and this is the problem with religion. Religion, Satan gets people into this mode of religion where they feel like they've got to perform something for salvation. And you don't. Salvation is obtained only by your faith in Jesus Christ. Anything added to that is preaching another Jesus. In other words, you have to believe the gospel and be baptized. That's what a lot of religion groups say today. You know, even some good Pentecostal people believe that along with believing the gospel, you have to repent, you have to be baptized, or you have to do something else. You know, you have to join a denomination, you know, and that's all religion. That's all, like I say, preaching another gospel.
Thank you.
We lost Mark.
Lastly, I wanted to say that it was great to see Daniel all dashing and handsome on here today.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm blessed to be with you. I'm blessed to have a brethren and sisters like you. And it's a blessing to belong to you. And it's a blessing to be in a secret place of the Most High with you. What really we hear today is about that when God speak against something, he speak against rebellion in people. But when he speaks blessing to someone, he's speaking a promise to those who obey. And I think this key is really obey, because when God is putting out his judgment, it is because of rebellion. And when he put out his promise, it is because there is a people that is obeying what they are hearing from him. And we have this in Rome chapter 6 and verse 16. And he says that, know ye not that to Rome ye yield yourself servant to obey, his servant are you to whom ye obey, whether it is of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So it is really the key in our life. And I look to myself and I see through my life, I see a rebellion in my life. I see when I am experiencing a great trouble in my life, it is because in these days that I rebel against. And when I see the blessing coming, and when I am sitting in my living room and really experience the presence of the Lord, it is because it have come a word to me from him, and I start to obey it. He start to speak a word to me. He start to show me a person or something, and I start to spend the time and pray for the person. Mm-hmm. Then I am obeying what he is putting on my shoulders. And I think our key is to realize who is that we are obeying. Are we obeying something that is authority over our life? It is, are we obeying ourselves, or are we trying to press on to a higher ground, to be in a mountain of God, and to be hidden in his presence? And I think never in the history is the opportunity like we have today. We are called in a special purpose to be with him to finish the race. So I'm so blessed that I belong to Christ today. I am so blessed that in him I have a hidden place, hiding place. But I am also a blessed that I know, and I know for my sure that there is a Christ within me. There is a Christ coming forth in us, brethren, today. And it is a birth of sons of God coming forth in our life. And this sonship makes us one. This sonship is the true unity that is of the Spirit of God in the body of Christ. It is nothing that man can do. No one can create it. It is just by his order. Only thing that we have to realize that we cannot, and I feel on my own life and all of me, I cannot be ready, but I can be willing. We sing the song, in the day of thy power, your people are going to be willing. And that is what he see. When he see that you are willing, he will give everything to you that you need. It is he that makes us ready. Blessing to you.
Amen. Amen. Well, it looks like we've come to a close. Let me turn the recording off.